We're very lucky to have many of the cast and crew with us tonight. First, join me in welcoming to the stage director Ty Evans. Real quick, I wanted to kick it off though, Ty. Can you tell the audience, there have been a couple other stereoscopic 3D skate films. What makes this one different?
Well, this one, let's see, how it all started. I met Ian about a year ago on the La Chiromania shoot, and we were talking about 3D, and he was starting to get into 3D, and he's like, oh, we got to do some 3D skate and stuff. So that was, what, over a year ago, right?
Yeah.
So about, I'd say, June of last year, Ian got his hands on a bunch of 3D equipment through HD camera, and we went to Brandon Beagle's skate park, and we shot a bunch of stuff on the Red on a beam splitter and the SI2K on a beam splitter. That kind of was the first test for everything, and that was the first real stereo, full-color 3D thing ever done on skateboarding. And then, you know, other stuff's been done as far as the Red and Blue, what's called Anaglyph, but this is the first real color one that we did back then, and then kind of, that was our, for me at least, that was my crash course into 3D, and then once this thing came along, it was like, okay, we already did the Beagle thing, and that kind of gave me a little bit of knowledge to go into this thing, and obviously you guys worked your magic as well.
Yeah, no, I think when we first started, too, it was really just a question of whether you could do something like skateboarding in 3D, you know, and it's one thing with, like, little cheap cameras, but when you bring out, like, a full cinema-style camera and you're going to get someone like Mark and bring his talents into it and everything else, like, you got to be able to do it right, you know, and
yeah.
One of our things is, like, you know, we started in action sports before we got into this and doing skating way back when, and we really thought 3D would just be incredible for it. But it's hard to get people behind it, and it's hard to get people, like, to understand it, and, like, you know, you went so far out of your way to, like, really get behind the technology, and, like, okay, if we're going to do this, I need to know what we're doing, you know, and I think through that crash course with Beeble, we sort of realized it was possible and just needed an idea, you know?
Right. Cool.
Yeah. Are there any questions from the audience? Just raise your hand. Up here in the front.
Hi. Yeah, I had a question about how shooting in 3D changed the pre-production experience or like any of the workflows, because I can imagine you had to approach it. I mean, it seems like it would be similar, but...
Stereo.
You want to chop that tree?
It's fun.
I'm not on. It's kind of crazy. Already from emails, I hate emails. Too many emails in my life. So, like, on that thing, the pre-production is pretty gnarly. Because when you have a small budget, reduce, and then you have to get together everybody in 2 weeks, it's kind of gnarly for pre-production. Like, before cameras, and trees and stuff. It was kind of gnarly, time frame.
Yeah,
if you had, like, more, maybe a month, it was more relaxed, but...
I think it was 2 weeks. I think it was like 3 days.
I think it was, yeah. It was like 3 days of ridiculousness.
I've seen 2 weeks for
exactly. Getting up to the shoot, it was just a little crazy. Man, everybody in town was so amazing. Just, I think it was the fact we dropped the word mocha in there, but everybody was like, yeah, okay, we'll help you. Like 3 days up to the shoot, that never happened. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was, Jonathan and I talked about doing this, but we didn't know if it was really going to happen because there was a lot of factors to make this happen. So I kind of put the word out there, like, hey, this thing might happen. Let's figure it out if it does. And that kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And it's like, all right, we got a stage in 5 days. What can we do? And I was like, oh, I guess I'm going to go get a truck and drive up to Big Bear and saw some logs down for a second. Bust a windshield out. And Ian, can you stereographer it? And Mark, can you DP it? And Martino, can you produce it? And Vince, can you skate it? It kind of went along like that. We did a conference call Sunday night at like 9 at night, and it was like midnight New York time with Chris. And Chris was like just dead at that point.
So come Monday, we're all trying to figure out camera, and Ty takes off to the woods to cut down trees.
With no phone
service. So, yeah, can I be top of Ty? No, I think he's cutting down trees. So all those leaves that you saw were Ty was grabbing grass as well.
Talk about hard flips.
Hard flips?
Yeah.
Switch or regular?
Holy switch!
What kind of budget were you working with? And what would it have really cost?
So if you guys didn't hear, he asked, what was the budget and what would it have really cost?
Oh, God.
You want to talk about budgets?
Well, those are the same cameras we have down at the workshop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The full X.
Well, I think luckily, you know, to do this correctly would have been hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it correctly, and if you had time. But one, we were under the gun, and two, you know, this was through MOGA and it was through the Levi's workshop, and they have all these great partners that are coming in here and helping them make these things happen. So we were blessed to have Panavision come on board and give us a really great deal with a package. We were blessed to have Able City come on board and give us a really great Phantom package. And Carlos and everyone over at Santa Clarita Studios hooked us up, and then the whole crew came on and just was like, this looks like a fun project, let's do it, you know? So it was, yeah, going back to your question, it would have cost a lot of money to do it, but luckily we had a lot of passionate people involved, and they were really, you know, wanted to give and gave a lot.
What about the crafter? What about the catering?
What about what?
The catering. The food.
Yeah, this guy was cooking Italian food. So we're open catering, great for everybody.
We're doing it.
Craft services by February.
Ty, what's that new M83?
Johannes was asking about the music. So, the music actually, when I was thinking of it in my head, I was like, oh, you know, M83 would be really good to use it. That's who we used for the Lakai intro. But again, I didn't want to hit him up until I knew it was really happening. So I actually waited until we shot. And I shot the first day, and then I'm driving home that night, and I sent him a text. So I was like, oh, okay, you know, it's real. We're really doing it. And I was like, hey, you should come by set, because he was out here. I was like, you should come by set tomorrow. Check it out. It's really cool. These guys skating. We're doing it 3D, and would you like to score it? And he was like, okay, yeah, I'll come by. And so he came by the next day. He was like super psyched. Like, yeah, this looks awesome. Like, you know, I'd probably be pretty into making something for it. And he's like, when would you need it by? And I was like, oh, in about a week. And his jaw just dropped. He's like, no way, man, you're crazy. So it was funny. We finished, we shot Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I came home, put selects on my computer on Monday. By Tuesday, I went by Anthony's house, that's M83, I went by his house on Tuesday, brought him some selects, and then we listened to a bunch of songs off his new album, but his new album's not coming out until October, but there's a couple songs that kind of like was in the same realm that kind of like worked, that felt good, and we're like, okay, well like these kind of work. So he's like, okay, I kind of know something that I can make that's in the same realm as these other songs, so just give me a second and I'll make another song. But the thing he didn't tell me until the next day was, he was finishing his album that he's been working on for like the last couple of years, doing the final mix for like the next week. So he finished that for like a week, and then the very next day, without taking a break, put his studio together and started making the song to a rough cut I had. Made the song, like a rough version of the song, in like 2 days or a day, gave me that, then I locked the edit, gave that to Scott, who's our 3D supervisor, who started finishing the convergence on the 3D and all the color. And then Anthony had to go do a bunch of more press for his album, left town for a couple days, came back, finished the song in 2 more days, and then we did the final mix at Sam Spiegel's house. And then Federico and Alberto did a full...
Where are you, Alberto? Where are you? Stand up, please.
They did like a full volume where they built plastic in Fed's garage and leaves and logs, and they're making all these noises and stuff, and then brought that in. We did the final sound mix last... Was that Thursday night, Fed's? So we did the sound mix Thursday night.
Yeah, sound. Yeah.
And then, what day is it? Today's Sunday, my God. So did the sound mix Thursday night, and then...
Is it Christmas?
Friday, we made the final DC... I'm just going off track, but we might as well just say it. So Friday, we made the final DCP, which is the digital cinema package that goes in a server that plays to this. And so we had to make that on Friday. And then Friday, I came by here, we tested it, and it worked, and I can finally breathe again. Saturday did some cleaning up stuff, and then today I came here and screwed it.
Only in LA.
What about Mark? How was that shoot then? It was your first 3D.
Yeah. First 3D experience. I had my first experience with Ty was Lakai Romania. So
yeah.
I was trying to think if this one tops Lakai Romania or not, but.
Yeah,
the fire element really was, that was really rough with skaters more than anybody, but
yeah.
Not ventilators, but at this point, yeah, it's rough, based on how big the cameras are and how much, you know, we already saw it.
Talk about the first day when we were trying to shoot.
Trying to shoot was the key word.
Trying to shoot. Oh, technology got the upper hand. The Phantom camera that we had kind of came through. We had some technical problems with our big camera, so it was an entire day of these guys running behind the scene on Saturday trying to call people that are on their day off and figure out the technology.
I think Ty set that up, because as soon as we started working with Ty, he's always about the Phantom. He's like, we need super slow motion.
So this is the other thing. Every single treatment and pitch that he ever writes is always like, it starts off with like slow motion, and then rain, and then lightning, and then some fire and sparks, and then it's super slow motion, the Phantom. And it's like, everybody's like, yeah, that's great. And then the first thing he gets chopped is always the Phantom.
Right,
so
right.
Here's the Phantom. The
Phantom came through this time.
And Vince, how was it skating in this?
It was kind of hard just because, you got to kind of wait for the cameras, but at the same time, you got everything in front of you. Like, it's kind of skinny some parts because you can't go off of it. Like, so it's kind of, makes it a little harder, but when you land something, whew, it feels so good.
Yeah, I think one of the things for the skaters is that it's so frustrating to like, they see this stuff and they want to get warmed up and they're like, okay, I film it, like I want to skate. And they gotta wait for the cameras. Now if you have 3D, it's double the camera, double the stuff to fix, double the stuff to set up, so it's like even longer.
And tricks too, you want to do something like cool looking, but it's kind of hard because it takes a while to land it more, because it's kind of like.
Yeah.
How hot was it in there? How hot was it in there?
It was hot. The lights. Those lights, like how it makes it all bright.
Yeah. The lights we use for like normal skating are called 1Ks, and we usually have like a couple 1Ks. We had 5 24Ks of this thing, and a couple 18Ks. So it was hot.
That was hot.
Can you take a couple more questions?
Yeah, more questions from the audience.
Yeah. With like all the lights and like the timing and how big the equipment is, do you think this will ever make its way into like typical skate videos, like Yeah Right or 40 Flag or whatever like that? Being fully 3D?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the project. Like, the project that we're making right now is the Next Girl and Chocolate film, and that's 3 years that we've already been filming, and that's already locked into 2D. But, we're going to put this on the Girl Chocolate Blu-ray as a bonus 3D feature, which you can do what's called side-by-side, where you take both of the image and put them in a side-by-side format in 1080. And then you can still play that on just a normal Blu-ray player, but you have to have a TV that recognizes that it's in a side-by-side format, so it'll still be in 3D. Yeah.
Hi, this question is for Jonathan.
Yeah.
I was curious what the impetus was for the partnership with Girl Skateboards and kind of how this everything related to skating fits into Levi's overall branding and strategy. That was an interesting partnership.
So at the workshop, we have basically the Levi's Film Workshop is running in conjunction with the Art in the Street show at MoCA. So from April 17th to August 8th, we have different thematic modules. So the first one was all about the art show, and then we're just finishing up now a module all about skate. And so we really approached the people that we thought were doing the most interesting things in skate films, and girls definitely on that list. And so they were one of the first people that I called for this project. And it's really about, again, exploring themes that are in the Art in the Streets exhibition. And obviously, street skating is a big part of that. If you haven't been to the show, I encourage you to go see it. Now it's free on Mondays, thanks to Banksy. And they have a screen room showing all of Spike's skate films. And there's also Mark Gonzalez's video that Cheryl Dunn did. So that's how it all came to.
Is there any possible way we can hear Ty call out Leaves action, skater action, just one more time?
that he's asking that because we had to figure out a way to coordinate all this, and it couldn't just be like skaters going with Leaves falling and cameras and moving. So I think, didn't we even have like some other formula at first maybe, but I think we figured out we would go, I would call it, say, Leaves action, and then the Leaves, I'd start looking and be like, okay, the Leaves are coming down, that looks good. And then if there's a skater on the left going this way or a skater on the right, I'd say, skater left action, and then they go, and then camera go, and then And then I think we just leave the camera rolling the whole time. So as soon as the skaters stop, I'd say leaves off. And then it would go leaves off, and then I'd look around, wait till like, all right, the skater leaves on, and then start falling. Skater action, leaves off.
3 days.
But I think, Jordan, weren't you saying it was like, just leaves on? You couldn't even hear what I was saying because you're right by the fan, right?
It was really loud in there.
Give a round of applause for our filmmakers. And as Ty kind of hinted at, the film will be available soon to the public worldwide. We're going to be featuring it on YouTube, and you'll be able to watch it in different styles of 3D, the red and blue anaglyph glasses, as well as if you have a 3D TV, you can connect it and watch it in full color. And we're also going to be screening it down at the Levi Stone Workshop at the MoCA as well, so you encourage your friends to come check that out. Now we'd like to invite you up to the roof. We have a reception. We'd like to celebrate tonight's film. Thanks so much for coming.